Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. The topic of today comes from an email I received recently, which I'm going to read you in a moment. And I was grateful for the request as this topic is quite close to my heart. The email came from a stepmother who is witnessing the abuse her stepchildren are suffering from their narcissistic mother. Although the situation is quite a specific one, this brought up the wider topic of how finding a different mother figure in your life as a daughter of a narcissistic mother can be profoundly helpful for all of us who have experienced maternal narcissistic abuse. This alternative mother figure doesn't necessarily have to be a stepmother and doesn't even have to be just one woman in your life. In this episode, I'm going to first go into doing my very best to describe into words what mother energy feels like and the importance of an alternative mother figure. And in the second part, I will answer more directly to the question in the email. And this may also be helpful for those of you who have shared with me how they sometimes witness children within their family who are not their own, but maybe nieces or nephews, for example, who have mothers with narcissistic tendencies. And I know from those of you who shared that with me that that's really hard to witness, because especially having been through that yourselves, you actually really know how it feels. You know the effects that it has on the child, and you know how it affects them long term, because you're now an adult and you're living the consequences of that. So I know it's really hard to witness that. So again, within the answer that I'm going to give to the email, you can find something that may actually support you to offer these children a support from the outside. Because you can be, it can be way more than you think it is when you help. So there is a lot in this episode. Buckle up. So here's the email that the lady was, she allowed me to share with you. Dear Mathilde, thank you so much for your podcast. I find it so helpful. I'd like to share what brought me to your podcast and ask a question. I'm the stepmom to wonderful adolescent boys. My husband shares 50-50 custody with the boy's mother, who is a textbook narcissist. Although my own parents were not narcissists, your podcast allows me to better understand what the boys are going through. I can easily see the damage she's causing, and I try to take what I can from your podcast to help me be a better maternal figure for the boys. The boys are truly fearful of doing anything new, anything from going someplace they've never been to doing an activity they've never done, even if it's something fun like going to a park or trying a new sport. Their mother has ingrained in them that they're incapable, they're unsafe without her. At the boys' extracurricular events, she will complain that they don't make her feel welcome or that they don't pay enough attention to her while she's there, so she threatens to stop attending their sports or other activities. If they want to spend time with their dad instead of her, she threatens to kill herself, so they will feel too guilty to leave. She has verbally, emotionally, and sometimes physically abused them. The authorities have been involved many times, but do little because they believe her lies over the children. The boys have poor self-esteem and poor emotional regulation. She manipulates and gaslights. There seems to be no end to her narcissistic behavior. The court finally gave my husband equal custody, so the boys have a stable, loving home for half the time. The boys are bonded to both my husband and myself, and they are doing well with our involvement. I'm the opposite of their mother in really every way, and I try to provide a safe and secure place for them to be. My question for you is, if you have a second mother figure in your life as a child, what could she have done to help you better survive or adjust to growing up with a narcissistic mother? We can't change her. We just have to learn to adjust to her until the children are grown. Thank you for your time and your wonderful podcast. Thank you again for the beautiful share, for sharing your experience with us all. That's really, really profoundly helpful. So how can a second mother figure support you not only growing up and surviving a narcissistic mother, but also healing from the trauma? As I mentioned, this topic is very close to my heart, so I'm going to start by sharing my experience on this briefly. If you've been listening in for a while to the podcast, you might know my parents divorced when I was very little. Eventually, I was introduced to a new partner of my father. She came into my life very gently, as my father was quite conscious to keep space for just him and I. And as I grew up, her presence became then more and more. The little I saw of her, she was always very kind, open. She would listen to me. And the main thing, yeah, is that she would listen to me speaking about what was happening at home. So what was happening with my narcissistic mother and with my grandmother, which is also narcissistic in a very different way from my mother, but the both are. She was the person that introduced me to yoga, for example, when I was in my late teens, and started me down this ongoing healing path that I'm still on. And when she came to visit us in Ireland when I was pregnant of my second child, and I felt, at the time I felt so sick with the pregnancy, I was at the beginning, and I felt so alone. I had no one else aside of my husband here supporting me through that. Her presence was so loving and supportive. I now know that was the first time I truly got a glimpse into what mother energy is meant to be, and how far that was from the behavior of my biological mother. Because when my mother came to visit, oh my, that was a completely different experience. So when this wonderful woman passed away 6 years ago now, I grieved like I had lost my own mother. And I'm sharing this with you because the time I spent with this woman was relatively very little compared to how much time I spent with my narcissistic mother. I was only ever with my father on Saturdays, and she was only ever joining us for dinner if she was. So this was very little time. And for the majority of this time, I was absolutely under my mother's spell, and I had no awareness of how abusive she was. So I lived believing my mother was the most amazing person on the planet, that she was always right, that she knew everything, that whatever wasn't going right in my life was 100% my fault, and it had nothing to do with my mother. So although I could speak to what was going on within my family, I didn't have an awareness of what was going on. So in all of this, this other mother figure never actually attacked my mother, never criticized. She just held space and she showed me unconditional support. And as I became more aware of it all, so in the years, the memory of this precious woman opened me up to recognize what true mother energy is. And I was blessed to meet also a handful of other women who also were absolute embodiment of such loving energy. And the reason I'm sharing all of this with you is because one of the biggest struggles for daughters of narcissistic mothers when we start working on opening up to mother energy within us is not knowing what it is. I often get asked, how is that meant to feel? What does it look like? How do I recognize it? How do I know I'm doing it? And that is understandable. We have not been modeled such energy by our mothers. So how do we know what it looks like? What's been shown to us, it's a completely distorted version of it. So unsafe that in order to survive, we likely have shut down the natural pathways of giving and receiving any love, any affection, any acknowledgement. And why is it so important to connect with this mother energy within? Because as you know, if you've been following me for a while, one of the crucial steps of healing in on this path of healing from the maternal narcissistic abuse is actually beginning to mother ourselves, connecting with the inner mother energy that we have within. Because we can't be expecting anymore that energy to come from our mothers. Remember, there's awareness, there's acceptance, and there's authenticity. So when you are going through acceptance, you're beginning to accept, you start accepting that your mother is not going to be that person that is going to give you that love. That's never going to come from her. That's it. it was actually one of the most liberating moments in my life when I realized, okay, my mother is never going to validate me. She's never going to be proud of me, really. She's never going to show me the love and the appreciation that I deserve. So this needs to come from somewhere else. And it cannot come, we can't rely on it coming from our partners. We can't rely on it coming from our other people, because that becomes a very unsafe relationship. We form attachments that are trauma bonded and it gets messy very quickly. And I know that that can happen. And again, there's no judgment there. I've done it a million times. So it's just within the healing path, we get to that point when we start working with the authenticity and become more and more ourselves, that we need to connect with the mother energy within. Okay, we need to start mothering ourselves, not like our narcissistic mother has mothered us. So criticizing, putting down, speaking down to ourselves, feeling always like we're the bad person. That's our mother's voice in ourselves. That's not mother energy. And then there's the mother energy that is in there. It's just a little bit under a lot of layers, but it is there. So that's why I'm speaking to that, because it's so important to reconnect with this energy and understand how that feels. And that's where examples of other women in our life that have shown us what that is can be really, really helpful. So how does mother energy feel like? I'm gonna try and put it into words, because that's not the easiest task. But I'll do my best. So it's gonna be supportive versus condescending. Is going to be unconditional versus conditional, loving versus criticizing, clear as opposed to manipulative, humble as opposed to I know better, taking responsibility versus faultless, safe versus projecting, nourishing versus exhausting, calming versus unsettling, in tune versus self-centered, and emotionally available versus self-absorbed. And this set of attributes is what you're looking to embody for kids that are suffering from maternal narcissistic abuse too. So this is like, if you're going through this list, this is what you are doing your best to be for them versus the other part. But we'll get into that in a moment. So the biggest challenge as daughters of narcissistic mothers is to learn to mother ourselves, as we said, with a healthy mother energy. In other words, to stop being a narcissistic mother to ourselves internally and open up to be loving and supportive to our system. And I know it's easier said than done, but it's not impossible. When I was introduced to this for the first time a few years ago, I had absolutely no idea how to do that. I was one of those people that asked, well, how is that meant to feel? How am I meant to do this? This really has never been modeled to me. I have no idea. And the more I felt into it, I realized, okay, I need to find examples of this in my everyday life. And there's a few ways that I'm going to bring here. Of how we can do that. There's about four ways. So one is what I mentioned, looking for an alternative mother figure. Like for me, that was reconnecting to the incredible support, even though I didn't know it at the time, but I could see it in hindsight, the incredible support that my stepmother has been for me in that little time that she has spent with me, and how that has showed me, like that particular, it was 4 days when she came to visit us in Ireland, but I will never forget that experience, that glimpse that I got into what mother energy feels like. Looking, feeling into women in your life so far who, no matter how much time they've spent with you, this could be very, very little, they've gifted you in those moments with genuine love, support, and nourishment for your heart. Even if you weren't aware of it at the time, even if you were close to it at the time, you could have been totally unable to receive it. And that's okay. But you can still connect with that now as you begin to open up with that to that energy now. As you look back, you can actually open up to receive that energy now. It's never too late. That doesn't expire. So you can connect with that now. So this is the first way you can find examples of mother energy in your life, is reconnecting with past experiences. So women in the past in your life that have shown you, even briefly, this could be like, I remember I've reconnected to maybe teachers I've had in school, like some were horrible teachers, but there were some figures that were incredible. So like, it was just glimpses, but that started giving me a sense of what that would feel like, a baseline, some kind of internal feeling that my body could recognize and then start going there. The next way, if you can't come up with any from your life so far, that's okay too. But then what you can actually start doing is actively look for this energy from now. So, okay, nothing in your past emerges and comes up for you. That's fine. Don't beat yourself up. Don't start going, okay, that's me. Obviously, I don't deserve it or whatever. That's your narcissistic mother's voice that is beginning to talk in your head. And that's okay. But we don't need to listen to that. So if you can't find anything from your past, you can actually start looking for it actively now. And this can come in the form of a brief, sincere smile from the lady at the grocery store, all the way to a mentor or a women's circle where this level of love and support is actually consciously practiced. Okay? This will support your system to open up to recognize what mother energy feels like. And it will support you connecting with that energy within you. So being surrounded by women that even consciously practice this, it doesn't have to happen by chance. You can actively just go, okay, I'm looking for someone that embodies this energy so that I can start learning what this energy feels like. I've used my mentors that way all the time. Like women that actually really came to the work that they were doing, bringing that energy in, consciously bringing it in so that I could feel what that was. The third example, and this is a wonderful one because it's really always with us, and none of this excludes the other, but is your breath. So breath can be an amazing example of mother energy when you've learned to be with it without fixing it, okay? Without trying to change it or fix it. We're not talking about breath work here. We're talking about being with the breath, like literally just feeling the breath going in and out. You can do that right now. You can feel your breath. And it doesn't matter how it feels. Your breath always flows, respectful of how much you're available to receive. If your body feels tense, your breath is not going to try and push down too much. It's going to be shallow. That's your breath being respectful of what you're feeling. So it's never pushing, it's always there for you. It's present to whatever emotion you might be feeling in the moment. It never leaves you. So that's like really an incredible example of what mother energy is meant to feel like. And the fourth way you can reconnect with mother energy is by observing and being in nature. Nature is filled with mother energy everywhere. There's examples all the time. Being in nature can truly support you connecting with this energy. The earth underneath you is always holding you, even right now, wherever you are right now. You could be like on the 10th story of a building. I'm on the second floor of a building at the moment. Or you could be outside in the park. Wherever you are, the ground that you're on, that's the earth. And the earth is holding you. She's always there. It's the ultimate mother energy, because it doesn't matter what you do, even if you forget about her, even if you never connect with her, she's still going to hold you and she's still going to be there to support you no matter what. Each step you take, you are being supported by the earth. The soil is so unconditionally providing nourishment for all plants and for a lot of creatures too. The riverbed that gently holds the river wherever the river decides to go. That's mother energy. And I mean, talking about nature, I could make a list of examples that never ends. You can find your own. You can find the examples that call to you when you're in nature. But that's a beautiful place to connect with mother energy. So now that we have a more clear idea of what mother energy is and feels like, and of the importance of an alternative mother figure, the importance that an alternative mother figure has in your life, and in the life of anyone suffering from maternal narcissistic abuse. We can go into answering the email's question more directly. And as I said, this can be helpful also for any of you who may not be stepmothers, but maybe aunts or godmothers or even teachers, and any other situations when you witness a child that may need to come in contact with this energy. And remember that, I'm going to go into it, but it doesn't matter how little that seems to be to you. That is just giving the child an example. And it might be in 20 years' time that that child is going to reconnect with that energy, but that's going to be life-changing at some point. So trust that. Don't feel like you have to do too much. That like a hug, being there to listen, a smile, that can go a long, 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 long way. And I know from experience. So how can a second, the question in the email was, how can a second nurse, how can a second mother figure help you, can help you be better, to better survive and adjust to growing up with a narcissistic mother? So first of all, the first point is modeling a healthy mother energy. And this is the first point of the back of what we said so far. So it is of paramount importance. How can you do that? I'm going to break it down a little bit. So first, have a look at the list of attributes of mother energy that we made earlier. That list, like, that's like your guidelines. Those are your guidelines, okay? And work to embody that when in contact with the kids. And as much as possible, really, this that's an amazing energy to embody in your own life anyways. Remember that no one expects you to be perfect. So if you're looking at the list and you go, oh my, I'm so far from that, it's not about being perfect. And this is a journey, okay? But it's about doing your very best to be embodied those qualities at your best in every moment. And it's because it's a journey, you're going to learn and you're going to improve constantly. You're going to grow into it constantly. So please don't judge yourself. The second part is support them. This is very important. Support them not because they've been broken by their mother, because they've not. Remember, they're not broken. Whatever you see, you know, in the email is mentioned, but they're fearful and they don't feel confident going into new things and all of that. They're not broken. Those are protective pathways. They're protective strategies. They are just learning to protect themselves. It's unsafe for them to go into something new because it's unsafe anytime that they've brought something like that in their own relationship with their mother that has been shut down. So they are learning to survive with that. Okay, so what you're saying, or to help them to better survive, well, the inner system is very wise and finds ways to cope and survive. So they're not broken. Their very wise inner internal system is figuring out ways to survive. Now, I know that those survival mechanisms are not very helpful on the long term. And as an adult, you can see that, and I get that. But if you are approaching them as if they're already broken and they need to be fixed, that's actually not going to be very helpful for them. And I'm not speaking directly to this stepmother in the specific case. When I answer, I'm giving a general answer. So I'm using the words of the email, but please don't feel like I'm assuming that you're doing something that you're not. I just want to give as thorough an answer so that it's very clear. So you're not supporting them because you feel they're broken, but because they deserve to be loved exactly as they are. That's like the mother energy. It's not conditional, it's unconditional. So exactly as they are, they don't need to be fixed, they don't need to change, they don't need any of that. They just deserve love right now because they're beautiful exactly as they are. Then trust in their capacity to receive when love comes their way, even if in the moment it is not obvious that they're receiving it, okay? You might feel like it's not making any difference, but it is. Trust it. As I said, it took me years to realize the impact my stepmother had in my life, and also other women that have been in my life. In the moment, I didn't realize how important that was, okay? This is a long-term experience, not a quick fix. So remember to trust that whatever you're doing, it's actually having an impact. And it seems like the other situation is having a bigger impact. That's their biological mother, and it's a completely different kind of relationship that nothing will ever be able to substitute. But what you're doing and your presence and being loving and modeling that mother energy is having an impact. It's just it might take a while to actually see the results of that. Another point to that is tune in with their needs more than just doing what you think would be best for them. That's really important. Remember, a narcissistic mother is never tuning in. Never. Okay? It's always projecting, is never in tuned. So when you are with them, make sure you are actually forgetting for a moment about what you think would be best, what your needs are. That needs to go on the shelf. What you need to be doing is actually feel into them and tune in with them and feel what they actually need. And even ask, what do you need right now? Don't be afraid to ask. There's an incredible wisdom. And at the beginning, when they're asked that, they might be taken aback because it's like, we're not used to being asked that. Like, our mothers doesn't ask this ever. And so they mightn't know the answer. But the more you ask that question, in time, they will start learning that their needs are important and that they are allowed to express them. And so you will start getting more of a conversation, more of a dialogue, okay? It's about feeling into it moment to moment and listen to them openly. And the last little bit of this first point of modeling healthy mother energy is, as a mother figure, it is of paramount importance that you do your own inner work. As with all the love and the greatest intention in the world, it is almost impossible not to have some level of projection from your own subconscious. Even if your parents were not narcissists, even if you feel like you've never been through anything, it's really, really, really rare that that's actually fully, fully true in the society that we live. We've all been through some kind of stuff as children that we didn't have the words to explain, and in a moment where whatever adult figure that was meant to actually hold space and explain didn't, and left some kind of level of trauma within the system. Okay, so the more you can become aware of that, the more you can become aware of what's in your subconscious driving you, the safer and the more impactful you are going to be for them. So whether you feel your mother was a narcissist or not, which is fine, I mean, not all mothers are narcissists, there's lots of lovely mothers out there, but sometimes it happens. Like, I mean, the best of us, we're not perfect, okay? So I've yet to meet a woman in our society at the moment who does not carry some degree of mother wounds. So it's really important to go look into that and make sure, because the less you project, the more you're going to be able to really open up and listen to their needs, really tune into them and make them feel safe. And this is important because their system is so refined right now, having been through what they've been through so far, their system is so refined that they're going to pick up on the slightest little bit of unsafety from you. They will pick that up. And so your impact is going to be a little bit less. So that was the first point. That was the point about modeling a healthy mother energy. As we said, look at the attributes, support them not because they're broken, but because you love them, trust in their capacity to receive, tune into their needs, and do your own inner work. That this is like the foundation for you to be able to model for them healthy mother energy as a second mother figure in their life. Okay? The next point of how you can best support them is acceptance without hostility. As mentioned in the email, accepting you can't change the biological mother is very important. So this needs to go hand in hand with an energy that is clear of resentment towards this mother. If you express your resentment towards the biological mother with the kids in any way, even subconsciously, this can cause serious conflicting emotions and confusion in the kids, because they will always have a love for their mother. I mean, that's there, okay? That's their mother. So it never helps when one parent is made into the enemy by other parenting figures. It gets very messy for the kids when this happens. So this does not mean you have to be fine and justify negative behaviors of the mother, but that your focus should be more on listening and be there for the kids rather than speaking ill of their mother, even if you're super frustrated about her behavior. And again, I'm not saying this directly to the woman sending the email, assuming that that's what she does, but I'm using that example so to make a point for everyone here that is in a similar situation, so that all of it is covered. And I know it can be very challenging at times not to come out with nasty remarks when the behavior is so obviously narcissistic. This is where you do your own inner work, okay? This is where you find a safe space where you can express your anger and frustration and clear resentment so that you can keep your support clean. My stepmother, when I was a kid, I have never heard her speaking ill about my mother. Ever. Not once. If she did that afterwards with my dad, sort of like, oh my God, whatever, whatever, whatever. Maybe, yeah, I'm sure they've done that among each other, among adults. And they've cleared the air for me then. But not even my dad, actually. They've never done that. Then as I grew up, you know, once I was like a bigger person, maybe when I was in college, like the conversation changed and there were moments where they were like, maybe you know, it's time to understand that there's certain aspects of your mother, blah blah blah. But even at that, it was never like something expressed in anger or frustration, or because that wouldn't have actually worked. Okay, so it's very, very important. The third point is the father figure. So in this specific case, we're talking about boys. And so for everyone that is witnessing this happening with boys, remember the absolute importance of the father figure in all of this. The fact that he has actively, for example, been seeking to have more time with his kids, fighting for the 50-50 custody, this is very healing in itself, okay? The father is important, as when we're dealing with trauma with parents, there's the mother line. So for women, we're looking back to the mother line, and for men, for boys, we're looking back to the father line. Okay, now does that mean that sons of narcissistic mothers don't get traumatized? Of course. And of course, if you've had a very narcissistic father or an enabling father, I mean, that matters. So those are also wounds that we need to look into. I have an episode on that, the episode on the enabling father, but the line of the father for boys and the line of the mother for women has a bigger impact. Okay, so it's really important to consider the absolute importance of the father figure in all of this. The father's inner work is very important. Very, very important on this, that he looks into his own line, into his own parental, the trauma that he's undoubtedly in some way, shape or form received from his own parents. It's always there. Doesn't matter how amazing, well-intentioned the parents have been, it's the society we live in. So it's like we need to look back into that and make sure that also the father does his own inner work. Also, as I mentioned, check out the episode 41, Unpacking the Role of the Enabling Father with a Narcissistic Mother. Again, this is not say that the father in question is enabling the mother. He's been fighting. He's been getting the 50-50 custody. So I'm not making a direct reference or point. But it is worth listening into that episode as it can help deepening the awareness. Okay, you might be enabling in some little ways that you don't even know, okay? So the more awareness we bring to it, the better we're able to help the children in question. So, and for anyone in a similar situation, regardless of the kid's gender, the father figure has its role and it's a very important one, okay? It's not just about the mother. So it's really important to look into that. The next point... because we're talking about boys in here, so in case of boys, so as you know, this podcast is called Authors of Narcissistic Mothers. So in case of boys, it may be helpful to also check out resources about sons of narcissistic mothers. There is a lot of work out there on this topic now, as dynamics can be different. I know, like, I'm a daughter of a narcissistic mother, and my husband is a son of a narcissistic mother. And he actually didn't know that until very recently because his mother was quite covert. So the dynamics and the way that that has affected him are very, very different. There are similarities. It's not completely like the opposite, but it's important to address the differences. And so it can support you, like in this specific case, it can support you and your husband understanding the situation on an even deeper level. But for everyone, that can really be helpful. Point number 5, set boundaries. Okay, this is really important. And I know you're doing it, it's expressed in the email, but so for everyone, it's very important to set boundaries. So if you are a parental second mother figure, like, or if you are in a situation where you can do that, of course, if you're just I don't know, someone that just sees a child from very far away, like an aunt or something, it's a little bit harder to do that. It depends on how much capacity you have to do this, okay? But you can do it in small ways, like this can be done. You can get creative. So show the kids that you have their back. If the behavior of the narcissistic mother gets very bad and you're present, okay? Model, you are the one that has to model for them how to set boundaries by doing it yourself. Even if it's in small little ways. There might be the feeling, again, in some situation of not being able to set boundaries and not knowing all the details. I can't actually be too specific on this. This, if you were working with me one-on-one, and there would be very specific situations, so we could go through it and it would be like a lot clearer. So I have to be very general on this. But just remember that the game of a narcissistic mother, but of a narcissist in general, is to make you feel like you have no power or control. That's their game. So you fear setting boundaries because of possible consequences. That's what they play on. So it's really important to remember that that's their game, but it's not necessarily reality. So whatever the situation, you can find opportunities to set some boundaries, whatever you can manage, because this will show the kids that their heart is precious and worth protecting and allows them to do the same in future. The next point is you could look into teenager's inner work. I unfortunately don't have anything to advise specifically, but I do know that there are, because I know here in Ireland this has been something that has been coming up more and more. There are places for teenagers in particular where they can feel safe and supported and not labeled and fixed. That, like, it's the devil. Labeled and fixed, no. But safe and supported, yes. So places that are specific containers where they can get to know themselves and grow, and that can support you. You don't have to do this all on your own, okay? There is the tendency to feel, okay, we are the parents or the step-parents, and we just, it's all on us. Well, of course, you do have a big responsibility as parents, we all do, but it's not necessarily that you have to do this all on your own. So as you are finding support for yourself, finding support to do your own inner work so that you can be more open and present and clean in your energy around them, you can support them also by finding places where they can feel safe and they can find a tribe that is a healthy one. Because remember that they will always look to find a tribe. But when they're looking for that in an unsupported way, they can look for that tribe going through their protective strategies. This can turn into not finding the most supportive type of tribe or the healthiest one. So when you can support them in finding a place where they can feel safe and they can feel supported in a really healthy way, that can be something to look into. And again, I'm sorry I can't actually give you something more specific, but in your locality you can look for that. And then the last point, the most important of all, remind them how loved they are. Not broken, never victims, not to be fixed, but absolutely lovable exactly as they are. This is the most potent medicine for the heart. If you can't do anything else, so if you forget all the rest of this episode, that you don't do any of what I've mentioned, but you do this one thing, this is the thing that will have the biggest impact. This is the most potent medicine, because this is mother energy. You know, not broken, never victims, never labeled, never to be fixed, but show them how loved and lovable they are. Tell them every day, even if they're looking at you like, what the hell are you saying to me? It doesn't matter. You remind them with everything you do around them how lovable they are. So I'm really hoping this was helpful. It was a big episode. There was a lot in it. So if you have any questions, any reflections, you can reach out and let me know. The email is in the description of the episode, as always. I think that's it for today. I wish you all a beautiful day, and I send you lots of love. Bye for now.